This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. Final hour of overtime here on The Fan before we turn it over to the Capitals and the Penguins here on The Fan. Nationals and Astros in action over on the Team 980. It is 1-1 in the top of the fourth inning. Dylan Cruz drove in the solo run for the Nationals. Jacob Young got on base, beat out the double play to second base, stole third, and was driven home by Dylan Cruz. So a good start for the Nationals. Taking a look at this piece that Ben Standig wrote in The Athletic, there are some names to keep an eye on this offseason for Washington. We've talked about some of them. Curious to get Max's thoughts, and if you want to hop in, 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in as well. But taking a look at how much you can save with some of these guys, because Washington has about $75 million in effective cap space, according to Over the Cap. So taking what they actually have, subtracting the dead cap, they end up with about $75 million to work with. So they can add on to it with certain players that they can move on from with really not much penalty, and they could add some extra cap space. So we'll start at the top of the list here. The guy that I think makes the most sense, and we've had this discussion quite a bit over the last couple of weeks, John Allen can be moved on from. You would save $16.47 million. So, and you would have a dead cap hit of about six. So you'd save about $10.5 million by moving on from John Allen. I think I would do it. Now, the interesting part is, are you going to keep Daron Payne? If you're going to keep Daron Payne, you know, you can, that's, you know, already under contract. But if you're going to try to move on from him too, you have to kind of maneuver when you move him, trading him and various things, so that way you can save some of the cap hit there. I don't know that I would move on from both of them. I personally would keep Daron Payne and move on from John Allen for this reason. You could easily save $10.5 million, and I think it'd be fully worth it because you could replace him with someone, you know, that maybe not give you the same production, but frankly, they didn't give you the most production last season anyways. I think you could get a solid defensive tackle, or you could use that in another position if you'd like to improve at with that extra $10.5 million. What would you do, Max?
See, that's the thing. John Allen played really, really well down the stretch, like after the injury, so I'm a little bit more weary of moving on from him. I don't deny the savings are important, but it's so hard for me to move on from him. I understand Daron Payne's got a huge, huge number if you move on, but that's kind of where I'm leaning right now, especially with, like, we've seen teams be more and more willing to just bite the bullet on things that clearly aren't working. So that's where I lean personally, but, like, I understand both sides of it either way. Like, moving on from at least one of these guys before next season is probably a good move, like, for cap reasons, but I don't know. We're probably going to end up seeing both of them in burgundy and gold next year.
Well, so here's the interesting part. So take out contract. Which one are you keeping?
Allen, probably.
See, I would keep Payne. I think that Payne is a better run defender, and when I envision what you're going to do with this defense with Johnny Newton in the future, I would keep Newton as that pass rush, get up the field, go wreak havoc. You know, he's obviously going to be tasked with stopping the run, but not as much. Just go be the game wrecker, and I'm going to have a stud 350-pound dude beside him who is a run stuffer, and I think Deron can fill that role better than John Allen, and I think he is a better run defender than John Allen. You know, go back and look at that Tampa Bay Buccaneer playoff game. They weren't running the ball real well, and then he left the game for an injury, and then they started actually getting the run game going a little bit. Their run defense wasn't good all year long, so not to say that, you know, Deron Payne is, you know, just way better. I think they're kind of equal, if not just maybe a little bit difference between them. Not much that's, you know, a huge difference, whether it's John or Deron, whichever one you think is better. I would personally keep Deron, though, over John. Why would you keep John over Deron?
Just because of how, A, he's been around a while, and I feel bad letting a guy go like that, especially if you've, you know, you've fought through so many types of adversity to stay on this team and play for this team. I think it's more of a rewarding loyalty type deal for me, just because that's, for some reason, how I operate. But I also just can't deny his play after the injury. Like, it wasn't over the top great, but it was way better than he was playing at the beginning of the season before he got hurt. So just that type of like determination to come back in crunch time. I think it's the mentality for me that, is why I would keep John around.
Yeah, I understand that. I just don't know that I'm going to operate. I want to be as good as possible to the people.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
But with all due respect, it's about winning football games.
For sure.
And look, I don't know that either one of these guys deserves anything with the way that they've been playing since they've gotten their contracts. But regardless, I would personally go with Deron over John. The next guy, this one's where it gets really interesting because you've seen this guy pop up now the last couple of days as a potential cut candidate, and I just don't see any way that it's happening. But when you consider the amount of money they could save, maybe it's something you have to consider. Marshawn Lattimore, you would save $18 million if you moved on from him. I don't know that I love the idea of it because it suddenly makes you desperate at the corner position.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel like you can go out and sign Charvarius Ward, DJ Reed, one of those guys, and you feel more comfortable with them for around that $18 million number, whether it's a little under or a little bit over, would you consider that? And you just say, well, we made the mistake. The trade didn't work out. We eat it. Yes, they gave up a decent bit, but it also wasn't like they gave up a first-round pick. They gave up a third and a fourth. They got back, I think, a sixth or whatever, a fifth. Can't remember the exact details. But, you know, the biggest asset you gave up was a third round pick, not a first round pick. So it's not as if you can't move off of it and understand that it was a mistake. I don't know that I'm doing this, but for $18 million, it does have to be on the table at least.
It's a lot of money. 18's a lot. But at I'm not cutting a guy who joined my team injured, was trying to come back from the injury as soon as he could, and then was also trying to learn a defense and just, unfortunately, he didn't play great. I would like to see how he does with a full offseason under his belt, OTAs, training camp, all that, just to see how he gels. Now, if there are things that we, behind the scenes, that we don't really know, like if he didn't really jive with the locker room or whatever, then sure, I'd be open to moving on. But there, given that there haven't been any indicators of that since the offseason started, I'm not getting rid of Marshawn Lattimore. I'm not creating that hole. Because even if you do sign Charvarius Ward, I would love a hot take. I would love a team with Marshawn Lattimore and Charvarius Ward on both sides of that defense. Just saying.
Yeah, no, I think that would be fun. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I don't think there's much chance that you're gonna do this because suddenly you'd become very desperate at that position and create a big hole. Maybe for something where you could sign a guy before you moved on, but I just don't see that happening. So I would think that he's going to be kept. But I think this is maybe a legit discussion we can have next offseason. Andrew Wiley. So you would save about $7.75 million. You would have dead cap of about $2.75 million. You'd save about $5 million overall. Would you move on from Wiley or keep Wiley?
With the injuries on our offensive line right now, I would like to keep some continuity. So for that very reason, I'm kicking Wiley inside the guard, and I'm keeping him.
Well, and I think that right there is exactly what I try to do. I would kick him inside the guard, try to find right tackle. You know, if their offensive line fix for next season were to bring back Corn Lucas and roll with Wiley at right guard and Lucas at right tackle, assuming that they can find another tackle that can be the swing guy since you're moving Lucas in, I would like to see more upgrade than that. But if they did that, I would view that as an upgrade, at least, you know, with Cosme being out, understanding that that's going to be, you know, some significant time, I think over half the season missed next year by Cosme. If that's the case, I think I could at least live with that. I wouldn't love it, but I think you can get some solid play from him at guard. Remember, that was a discussion piece going into some of those playoff games when you had Cosme go down, was would you kick him inside to guard because he played well there when he played in Kansas City, but they didn't want to mess with the continuity. When you have a full offseason to work with it, working on the, you know, the silent count where you're essentially as the right guard motioning to the center and all that stuff, you can work on that together and get that chemistry. I wouldn't hate it. So I think that makes a lot of sense to keep him. You know, you're only saving $5 million. That's the thing that I caution people that are saying, oh, move on from this guy, move on from that guy. You might save $5 million, but in order to fill that void, which not like Wiley's been a great right tackle, but to fill that void for $5 million might be a little bit difficult, right? Like, it's not just something, it's not like Madden where you can just move on from everybody and find someone to take that spot. So I think that one's going to be something to monitor here. Another one to keep an eye on, so this kind of works as a pair that I think would be interesting to see what your thoughts are. Austin Eckler has only got a charge of just about $5 million. Mm-hmm. You could save about two if you moved on from Eckler. Any chance you want to move on from Austin Eckler?
No, Unk's still got it in like as a kick returner. And if you get him out in space, like 2 years ago on the Chargers, he looked a lot worse than he did last year with the Commanders. So I think he was battling through something. But yeah, for special teams purposes and just diversity in the backfield, I'm holding on to Austin.
Yeah, I don't want to move on from Austin Eckler. For that price tag, again, $2 million, what's that doing you? Who are you signing for two that's somehow an upgrade over that? It's not. He's not making that much money. That sometimes, I don't know, there's just no point in making that move. B-Rob is intriguing. His savings would be about $3.3 million. His dead cap is about $200,000, so you'd save about $3 million, so you'd save a little bit more. If you moved on from B-Rob, you moving on from B-Rob?
Oh, man, it hurts me so much to do this. But if we draft a running back and if we draft like an Amari and Hampton, then yeah, I am. But it would be post-draft. I'd have to see how this team looks. But just, he was running scared, and I think there have been some reports of like coaches getting after him when it wasn't going so great, telling him to stop running scared. And for me, I would like a guy that you don't have to tell to stop running scared, you know, just some, I need somebody with who can stuff that down and just bowl through people.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm moving on from B-Rob. I'm hoping that he can improve from whatever the heck happened in the second half of last year. But again, $3 million, I have those two. Now, that being said, I don't want either of them being the feature back. I would love to have a rookie in here, whether it's Omarion Hampton, Trevion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. I mean, you go through it. Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. You can go through a lot of kids that I would love to be the feature back. Get them in the draft. They be your number one back. You have Eckler as kind of that third down change of pace back. And B-Rob is kind of that third guy, maybe filling that Chris Rodriguez role. But then again, do you move on from B-Rob and just give Chris Rodriguez that role? I don't know. So I think that's something that'll be interesting to monitor. I wouldn't be surprised if they're both back. He's obviously a good locker room guy. People really like him, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. If they had to move on from one of them, it's more likely than not B-Rob and not Eckler. Do you agree on that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's all. It all is going to trace back to who AWOD threw the chicken wing to.
That was something.
It was quite a video. That we talked about it when he finally came back from Super Bowl, and it was an interesting debrief. I'll leave it at that.
That's great. That's great. A couple of more names on this list. Really only one more to hit because the last one is just literally rolling out what Terry McLaurin's contract is and saying that they'll probably redo that. They're not cutting Terry McLaurin. So no. That doesn't even need to be discussed.
Extend him immediately.
Yeah, please. Sign him immediately. Percy Butler is one that could be moved on. Frankly, I don't know that you'd miss Percy Butler if they moved on from him. I did not think he was very good. I don't know why this defensive staff seem enamored with him. They were trying to get him involved, and every time I saw him on the field, I just didn't think he was very good. So you'd save about $3 million and sign me up. I would move on from Percy Butler.
Yeah, I to be honest, I haven't kept a huge eye on Percy just because, like, Quan was so impactful and Chin and all that. So, I mean, if you're saving $3 million for a backup safety, sure, by all means, go ahead, man.
Let's take a look at this year's expectations for the Commanders. Now that you're looking at the offseason and how they're going to improve, but going into next season, what is the baseline? Like, they have to achieve at least this for me to feel like, okay, this was a reasonable year two to what they did in year one. What is the baseline that you expect out of this team for next season to be at least happy with the way that the season goes? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at @Toby_Altizer. We'll give you our answers next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for another 20 minutes or so, and then we'll turn it over to John Walton on the call for Caps and Pens here on The Fan. Maybe we'll sneak in a little Nats talk before we get out of here. But I wanted to talk about this upcoming season for the Commanders. They obviously have the full off season ahead, plenty of moves in free agency, full draft ahead. But looking ahead to next season, before you understand what they do to improve the roster, hopefully, what is kind of the baseline of your expectations? Do you have to see them win a playoff game? Are you content if they just win 9 games and maybe just miss the playoffs? Like, what is the baseline of your expectations for this team going into next season? Max, I'm curious your answer on this. I'll give you mine in just a second. What's your baseline? Like, they've got to do this and I'll be happy with it. It doesn't feel like a failure of a season. Maybe not, like, you know, not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl or, yeah, obviously we want to see them take that next step. But if they do this, I'll be fine with what next season accomplishes.
Yeah, right off the bat, I mean, it's first thing that comes to mind is like 10 wins, make the playoffs, look good, be competitive. I'd like to see Jaden take a step forward. But that being said, the schedule is we are playing the AFC West, which has Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Sean Payton, because Bo Nix I'm not going to respect yet. And then the Raiders, which, fine. But then we're going to turn right around and playing the AFC North. So we got two of the toughest divisions in football that we're going to be playing against, and then our division twice, which is also tough. So our schedule is going to be loads harder. this year, this upcoming year, than it was this previous year. So, like, that's why 10 wins and making the playoffs is what I would consider a successful season for us.
Yeah, and I don't even know that I care about the win total as much as just make the playoffs.
Yeah, like, but I mean, you're not going to make the playoffs with 9, you know?
Yeah, more than likely not, but I don't know that it matters to me whether, you know, you sneak in and just find a way, like, just find a way back into the playoffs. I'd love to see you win a playoff game, but, you know, I don't feel like if they make the playoffs at least, it doesn't feel like they, you know, took a huge step back or something. Now, it'd be interesting, like you said, I want to see them play well. It'd be one thing if they find a way into the playoffs, but it's just horrible football. They squeak by every time they win. Every time they win, it's ugly, or the other team just falls apart, but you don't actually win. It's, you know, a lot of people losing games versus you winning them. Like, I think that'll be an interesting dichotomy there. But I think for me, like, the baseline is you just need to find a way to get in the dance, because then, you know, who knows what happens. But, you know, if next year all of a sudden you're not even in the playoffs, it's going to feel like a bit of a failure. Because to me, you know, this team people are talking about, as a, it's going to get talked about more, but even I think a CBS article was already put out as this is a team that could potentially take a step back. And, you know, I think as we get closer to next year, you're going to have the discussions for expectations for this team. And the discussions are going to be, well, you know, a lot of one possession games, winning on the last play, is that sustainable? That's going to be a conversation that's going to be had a lot.
For sure.
And just prepare for it. But I think, regardless of all of that, if you can find a way to just get back into the playoffs, I don't feel like that's taking a step back. Because like you said, a little more difficult of a schedule. You're going to face some really, really high quality teams. If you find a way to get into the playoffs, which likely requires 10 wins, I don't think that's a step back. You know, this team is more than likely not going to win 12 games next season because of the schedule. But I think there's a real possibility that they don't win 12 games and they're a better football team next season. Maybe they don't play better than they did this season, because to be honest, the way that they were playing when they got to the playoffs, and especially once you get to Detroit, I don't know that you could find a football team that was playing better outside of Philadelphia. They were clicking on all cylinders. They were doing everything that they possibly could do in their control to play good football, and they weren't hurting themselves. They were playing clean, which is something that they hadn't done a lot of the year, frankly, especially during the, even down the stretch, they weren't necessarily playing clean football. They were playing clean football. They were taking care of their business. Yes, they were getting beat defensively, but it still felt like they were kind of maxing out their ability specifically on offense. If they can find a way to do that with a better roster next year, then even if they only win the 10 games, that feels like a win.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing, a lot of Jaden has always, throughout this entire season, drawn comparisons to C.J. Stroud. And for better or worse, like, that's just kind of how people are going to look at a rookie coming into the league and lighting it up and having a great year. Well, you look at the Texans this season, what do? They won 10 games, they made the playoffs, and they lost to the Super Bowl champion. So, it's, I can definitely see, and people a lot of times were like, the narrative about the Texans was that they took a step back. I really kind of have a hard time believing that. I think they played a little bit of a tougher schedule than they're used to, especially after getting the number 2 overall pick and getting CJ Stroud. So we're going to get a lot of that, I feel like, this offseason. So that's just something to kind of keep your eyes on.
Well, and I do feel like he took a step back, and I do feel like they took a step back, but they still won a playoff game, right? Like,
yeah.
So to your point, like, even if they do maybe not live up to the same standard, it doesn't mean that they can't get into the playoffs and still make some noise because you've got trust in the quarterback. And I've kind of talked about this over the last week or so, and I think it's something that's really, really good here. It's a good point that you bring up. Stroud kind of took a step back. They kind of didn't live up to the full expectations of the step that they expected them to take this year. They still won a playoff game. But when you look at the offense, which took a step back, the offensive line was a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the reason that I'm a little more confident this team isn't going to have that same thing happen, Bobby Slowick is no longer their offensive coordinator because he did such a poor job this season. You know, you like to have continuity with your play caller and quarterback, and they didn't like the job that Bobby Slowick did so much that they moved on from him, so that C.J. Stroud's now going to have a new coordinator in year 3. I think that Jaden might have a new coordinator in year 3, but the chances are it's not because Cliff Kingsbury got fired. It's because Cliff Kingsbury got hired somewhere.
Yeah.
So I don't have, You know, I'm not as worried that suddenly, you know, like Slowick had happened in Houston, it kind of fell apart and his game plans weren't as good and his stuff wasn't nearly as good as C.J. Stroud's rookie season. I don't have any issue thinking that Cliff Kingsbury is going to take this season and build off of it and make this even better than it was this year, or at least he's going to improve and add concepts in that maybe they didn't have quite this year. He's going to improve and evolve the offense so that it doesn't take a step back like Slowick's did. That to me, I think, is going to be the big thing. Like, if Cliff is going out and doing his thing, then I think you'll be all right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some of your phone calls before we turn it over to John Walton and Ken Sabourin for the Caps and Pens game coming up at 3 o'clock today. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan. Final couple minutes here on Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until Caps hockey coming up in just a couple of minutes. Let's get out to your phone calls, 800-636-1067. You want to hop in before the end of the show, before we turn it over to Caps and Pens, talking about the Commanders. What's the baseline that you need to see out of them next season to feel like they're taking a step forward? Let's get out to Kurt in District Heights. Kurt, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, sir.
You all basically covered it in terms of the baseline for the team. I feel the same way. I feel that they can be a better team, but not necessarily have as good a record. And what I would like to see is I would put a cap on the wins. I would like to see at least 10 wins, but that's contingent on them making the playoffs. And this, of course, this is prior to what they do via free agency in the draft, just basically what I'm expecting. You know, I think a lot of fans are expecting NFC Championship and move on from there. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I just want to see him play better, especially on the defensive line, and do some upgrades on the offensive line. If they're playing well and with a tougher schedule in a different situation, if they can win 10 and make the playoffs, and once they get in there, do what they do, then I would be happy with that. I'd be very satisfied with that. Can I make a quick comment on what you all were talking about in terms of letting guys go?
Sure.
Pertaining to Marshawn Lattimore, I would extend Lattimore, and I'm almost certain that's what AP would do. I don't think AP is going to sit on him at 18 mil. I think AP is going to extend him and lower that cap number.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, Kurt. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I think that's interesting if you could maybe lower it if you wanted to extend him. I actually think they like the flexibility. I think they're willing to eat a little bit more of a cap hit like 18 mil and live with the flexibility of understanding that if it doesn't work out, they can move on from him at any point and they're not going to hinder themselves. Versus if you were to extend him and spread it out a little bit, maybe you bring into a case where, you know, suddenly if you were to try to move on, it would hurt you with some dead cap. So that is an interesting thought, though. If you wanted to bring it down, maybe you could extend him, rework some things. Let's get out to Mitch in Jersey. Mitch, what's going on?
Hey, Toby. Thanks for taking my call. Good show. See you more often. I say best player available, and if it's Hampton, great, or any of those defensive linemen. Hopefully, you can sign a free agent for the wide receiver, Adams, an offensive lineman. And I think there's like 10 teams on 8 quarterbacks. It's pretty intriguing what's going to happen with Russell, Aaron Rodgers, what the Rams do, and same thing with the Giants. And the Raiders, especially the Giants, if they get they sign a quarterback and draft Hunter, this is going to be some division.
Yeah, Will. Appreciate the phone call, Mitch. Yeah, I mean, that would be an interesting thing. Imagine if they're able to bring in Matt Stafford and then they could get Travis Hunter or someone like that. You'd have neighbors and Hunter. That'd be something to deal with when he'd be playing offense. And I'm assuming he probably plays corner in the league and then plays, you know, a handful, 15, 20 snaps on offense in the league. Look out if that's the case. That could be an interesting move. Let's get out to Sean in Winchester. Sean, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on, guys? Man, great show. And, you know, I've been listening, you know, I listen to you guys all the time. The fact that they're saying we're going to have a regression, I don't think we have any regression. I think we should exceed our win limit this year. As far as, I mean, we said it, 2 losses last year for I don't know how many weeks. You know, I was drinking the Ashburn juice thinking we might go 14-2 or something like that or whatever it is.
But yeah.
If they get that guy, Myles Garrett, I think all problems would be solved. I think that would, you know, it might take the farm to do it, But if we get him, if we had a defense last year, we would have won at least three more games. I'm almost positive of it. You know, with
yeah, and that's the tough part. Appreciate the phone call,
Sean.
You
can't let the Eagles get Myles Garrett.
No, 100%. 100%. Appreciate the phone call, Sean. Yeah, that's the tough part. You go after Myles Garrett, and you're going to have to give up a lot, and you've got a lot of holes. So I think that's the difficult part. I wouldn't blame them if they did, but I don't know if this is the right time. All right, last one. Let's get out to Kevin in Centerfield. Got about a minute, Kevin.
Sure. Thank you for letting me on. Hey, look, I don't see the schedule as daunting as everything. You know, Kansas City's going to be reloading. They may not be the same Kansas City teams they've always been. Same thing with, you know, Minnesota. They're going to have a rookie quarterback helming the system. Look, it could be 11 wins. You know, it could be anywhere from 8 to 11 wins, depending on how Adam Peters and they stack the lineup, right? This is a different team than next year, or this last year, excuse me. It's going to be a totally different team. So, you know, I could see anywhere from 8 to 11, and I would consider it success of we're going to win the division, and we're going to get a home playoff game for the first time in a long time. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I think to me, the baseline is you've got to get into the playoffs because once you get in, you know, anything can happen. And look, I think there's, you know, if you want to try to talk down the schedule like he was, I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that. It's going to be a difficult schedule, but it's not anything that I'd be daunted by because, frankly, you have the quarterback position figured out. You know, we talked about the quarterback carousel to start things today. And Washington's not a part of it because they've got their quarterback situation figured out. So if you can find a way to get into the playoffs, regardless of what your record is, I'll take my chances against anybody, especially in the NFC, because I feel like I'm going to have the better quarterback. So regardless of what happens, just get me in, and I'll trust that Jaden can overcome a lot of it. So I think it's going to be intriguing offseason. You know, I don't know that this has to be the time that you swing for the home run because there's still a lot that you need to make up on this roster, but I wouldn't blame them if they did because you've got the quarterback. This is the time to go win. Appreciate Max for doing all the hard work behind the scenes. I'm Toby Altizer. Thank you for listening. Coming up next, Caps and Pens right here on The Fan.